Scenes of corporate executives in handcuffs have become almost routine this summer with the arrests of former WorldCom and Adelphia officials. But for months, there were no criminal charges against Enron executives. Then this week came the plea agreement with Michael Copper, a former director in Enron's global finance unit. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports on how prosecutors will use his guilty plea to build a bigger case.
When federal prosecutors began investigating the collapse of Enron, they were met with a wall of silence by former executives. The question of how to hold top officials accountable seemed a tough nut to crack. All summer long, congressional leaders have moaned that the Justice Department was dragging its feet. But now it's clear federal lawyers were quietly, systematically building a case against a lower-level but pivotal insider.
The plea agreement with Mr. Copper will lead the government very swiftly to getting information which will allow them to pursue other targets in their investigation.
That's Northwestern law professor David Reuter. As SEC chairman back in the 80s, Reuter says this was the classic technique the commission used to prosecute white-collar crimes. You go after someone who can lead you to the mastermind.
I think the most likely person who will be the next target is Mr. Fastow, who's been implicated by Coppers in his plea agreement regarding stealing from the company.
Andrew Fastow was the chief financial officer of Enron. He was forced out of the company last October when it became known he'd made $30 million from elusive Enron partnership entities that he helped create. Now, Michael Copper, a one-time lieutenant to Fastow, says these partnerships earned Fastow huge kickbacks. They were also used to hide millions of dollars in debt and inflate Enron's profits. It was thought their sheer number and complexity might make the prosecutor's job of uncovering fraud impossible. But John Coffey, a securities law expert at Columbia University, says now that prosecutors have the goods on Fastow, he may decide to strike his own plea bargain.
If Mr. Fastow were to give in and become a cooperating witness, I think he is the person who is most centrally positioned in order to be able to prove that the senior management of Enron, principally Lay and Skilling, had full knowledge of the aggressive and quite dubious accounting policies that he was following.
That's Ken Lay, Enron's longtime chief, and Jeffrey Skilling, his successor as CEO. Coffey commends the federal prosecutors for their methodical approach, especially given that the deceit's been so hard to uncover.
Here, we've got a stone wall, and you have to make the dominoes cooperate one at a time and then fall against each other. And the government now seems to have a parade of dominoes lined up, and they're beginning to fall.
Whether or not Ken Lay, the man who transformed Enron from a pipeline company into an energy trading giant, is the top domino is unclear. His attorney, Mike Ramsey, turned out at the Houston courthouse yesterday to head off speculation.
I've seen nothing in the case that troubles me as a lawyer so far as any wrongdoing by Ken Lay is concerned. I mean, there are some crimes that occurred within Enron. But 99% of the people that work for Enron are straight people, good people.
As part of yesterday's plea agreement with Michael Copper, prosecutors are looking to seize $22 million gained illegally. On the forfeiture list are funds stashed in bank accounts by Copper, Fastow, his son, and a handful of other Enron employees. They may also go after Fastow's new $2.5 million home under construction now in Houston. Allison Aubrey, NPR News, Washington.